corruption, and consequences. Yalakhbi tells a story. It took place tens and tens of years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The story that takes place in and around the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews are feeling pretty comfortable with themselves, and things are good, and they are feeling pretty confident, and politically strong as a country. And someone, a tzaddik by the name of Zachariah, not the Zachariah that we know from Tre'asar, is a different tzaddik, a different Navi. The name is Zachariah. Lived in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash with a much less positive message. And he punctures their bubble. And he tells them that things aren't as great as you think. You're not as great tzaddikim as you think. You've got a lot to fix up. And they're not interested in hearing his mussar. They're not interested in hearing his message. And they kill him. They kill him. And the Kina describes something that sounds quite fantastic, and yet, in a sense, it happens all the time in our schools, in our bunks, in our classrooms, in a less obvious, vivid way, but in a very real way. The Kina describes it literally or figuratively. Nebuchadnezzar, based on a tradition from Chazal, Nebuchadnezzar Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian forces enter Beis HaMikdash decades and decades later. And there's already been a tremendous amount of destruction and death in Eretz Israel, but there's yet more to come, because this Babylonian general says, hey, what's that puddle of blood doing on the floor? And it seems like it's still bubbling. What's that all about? So the Jews are embarrassed. They say, oh, it's like blood of Christ, animal blood from Karbanos. Like, that doesn't look like animal blood. They do an experiment. He brings the animal, tries some animals. It doesn't match up. It's human blood. Like, oh, they try to explain it away. Eventually, they have to admit that we killed him. He was a Kohen, a Navi. We killed him here. And the blood hasn't stopped boiling ever since. And the Kina goes on to describe, based on traditions of Chazal, that in response to that Nebuzaradan, this Babylonian general, he begins to kill Jews over that blood in an attempt to get it to calm down. And astronomical numbers of Jews are killed before the episode is over. Ironically, Nebuzaradan, after all this mass murder, becomes a Baal Teshuva in his own sense. And you ask, well, this is horrific, terrible. It gets your guts, but what does it have to do with me personally? It doesn't just have to do with me and you and all of us personally, because we need, as so many Rabbanim point out, we need to work hard to feel, to emotionally plug into Churban. That's true too. But also because most of the Jews who were there when Zechariah was killed didn't kill him. Not everyone who was there participated in murdering him. But there were a lot of people there who passively enabled it to happen by just being quiet bystanders. Because there was a bully and there was a victim, and I didn't say anything. And we all know the message I shared with my shir just last week, by the three advisors to Paro, when Paro is discussing his plot to persecute the Jews, and Bilam says, more power to you, and he's punished for that. And Yisro protests and says it's the wrong thing to do, and Paro persecutes him by Kadosh Baruch Hu, who rewards him for his heroism. And then there's the third fellow, the name of Iyov. And he didn't say anything, and he didn't encourage Paro. And he suffers horrifically. You open up Sefer Iyov on this farm, one can learn on Tisha B'Av. Before you get to the philosophical discussions, it opens with a couple of prakim of narrative. And it's frightening narrative. He gets punished terribly. I mean, his whole life falls apart. He didn't do anything. What did he do wrong? Why does Iyov lose his family and lose everything? He didn't encourage Paro. He was a quiet bystander to a bullet. And that, we know, We know from our Masorah, and we know from many, many, many recent studies, that gives a tremendous amount of koach to a bully. When you stand there and do nothing. That's what Eel was punished for. And that's, in a large sense, that's what Kaisel is being punished for. The Mises Zachariah, it was some Jews killed him, but many, many Jews allowed it to happen. And sometimes we don't realize the power that we have to just say something. We don't realize the negative power of our silence. Rabbi Kamenetsky and Rabbi Friedman spoke about the importance of plugging into Avos Yisrael. And the importance of avoiding saying things that can hurt people. And we also need to think, if we're making Cheshva Nefesh and Tisha B'Av, we're trying to begin to, in our own personal ways, just to start my own backyard, what can I do to be different? So part of it is making sure what not to say, and part of it is having the courage to sometimes step up and say something. And there's so much power in just telling someone to cut it out. When you see someone about to hurt someone else, physically, emotionally, in any way, to be proud and say, cut it out. You're hurting someone. That's not cool. That's not okay. And that's how you begin to build, by one positive conversation, one heroic conversation after another, you begin to build a culture where that's not okay. And that, in a very fundamental sense, is part of a culture of Avos Yisrael. Yom Ach Bihich Badati.